Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's the first day of June. And the Memorial Day is behind us, the graduations and all that good stuff. And I've got Sam and Lee in the studio with me. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I'm just glad to be back at work.
We're glad to have you back.
We had a rough Memorial Day?
Well, we had 23 relatives in from out of town.
Oh, yeah, I know how that goes.
And he decided it was better to work than it was to be with relatives.
No comment. We got a great show for you this morning. We have a special treat. We have Kevin on location this morning at CC Young, and so we're going to have an opportunity to talk to some of the residents of that community. And here with us this morning in the studio in Atlanta, we have Nicole and Tony Davis, and they claim they're not sisters, but we're not sure we believe them. They're from UniHealth Post Acute Care in Decatur. So we're going to start this morning in Dallas. So, Kevin, I'm going to pass it to you.
All right. Thanks, Brad. I'm at CC Young, which is a continuing care community in Dallas, and joined by six of their residents. I have with me Jack and Martha Morgan, Dr. Don Benton, Anita Weber, Bernice Press, and Lois Schermerhorn. I'm going to just kind of go around and have each of you introduce yourselves. Just tell us where you were born and how you ended up here in Dallas. We'll start with you, Jack.
Hello, I'm Jack Morgan. Born and raised here in Dallas, Texas. All my life.
All right.
Born about a mile from here.
Wow.
From Baylor Hospital at the time, about a few years ago. And I've enjoyed living in this area. I have many stories about Dallas and Dallas County.
All right.
At that time.
Hey, what about you, Martha?
I'm Martha Morgan, and I grew up in a little town in central Texas called Cranfield's Gap. And I lived there till I went to college, and I met Jack when I was visiting some relatives. And so we married after I graduated from college. And I just loved Dallas from the time I got here. And so we've been married 63 years now.
Excellent.
And so that's how long I've lived here. And we, I think, never, ever thought about we're going to have to leave our home someday. But I had back surgery, which has incapacitated me, and he hurt a knee really badly that has affected his walking. So we came here, and we liked it because we had lived in the area all the time, and so we feel at home here. So everything's okay.
Oh, great. And Dr. Benton.
Yes, I've lived in Dallas since 1958. I am a United Methodist minister and came to Dallas to serve churches here. And I served on the board of CC Young. Actually, I participated in the groundbreaking for this unit out here. So I've been around for quite a while. A few years ago, my wife developed some health issues. And we decided that it would be a good time to come and live at CC Young because CC Young is the community in Dallas who will take you at independent living all the way to hospice. So we felt this was a good place, and I was very familiar with it and serve now as the chaplain.
Excellent. And Anita Weber.
Yes, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. My daughter lives here in the M Street area. She went to Southern Methodist Law School, and so my husband passed away about 10 years ago, and I decided to move to Dallas a couple years ago. So I told her, go find me a place to live, and she found this, and I'm happy. I live in the penthouse, the third floor at Ashbury, and we have the best fun. We share. We do a lot of games together, but we do care about each other, you know, and we tease one another, but it's fun to live here. We are family.
Good. Bernice, what about yourself?
Well, I'm Bernice Press, and I was born in Red River County in East Texas, and I grew up in the East Texas oil field and was in nurse's training at Scott & White Hospital at Temple, Texas, and then I joined the Navy. I was a Navy nurse and went to Long Beach, California, and I married there, and I lived there for about 30 years, and then I moved back here to Dallas. My mother was alone, and so I said, if you'll move to Dallas, I'll come back to Dallas. So I came back to Dallas. I worked at Baylor in the operating room, and then I learned about retirement homes in California, and I knew that that's where I wanted to live. I did not want to be burdened with a house and all. So when I was 75 years old, I moved in here to C.C. Young, and I've been living here for 17 years now. I just had my 92nd birthday, and it's a wonderful, wonderful way of living. You come here, and you really live. You live free, and you're safe, and then you can do anything you want. And because I'm a retired RN, RNs always want to make things better and make life a little better. So that's what I volunteer here, and I do a lot of things to try to make the residents their life a little easier. So that's what I do, and I'm still just as busy as I ever was.
All right, and finally, Lois. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, my name is Lois Skirmelhorn. I was born and raised for the first 19 years in Englewood, New Jersey. My husband was also born there, and we were married in 1945 while he was still in service. We moved to Minneapolis, first in service and then to Minneapolis and then to Washington, D.C. area, and then to the Boston area where he was a professor at Massachusetts College of Pharmacy. And then he went to Northeastern and became the dean of Allied Health at Northeastern. And they needed a dean down here at Southwestern Medical School. So we moved down here in 1971. We have never been sorry. In 2001, I had a serious accident, and so we decided we better move to some place that took care of us. First off, we moved to a completely independent living place, which we loved. They did not like wheelchairs or walkers. And then in 2004, we decided to move over here. Our son is a physician at Doctors Hospital, which is 2 miles away, and so it made us be much closer to him. He was way across town. We had lived way across town. So we moved here, and I've never been happier. I have wonderful friends here. I do a lot of the programs. We have wonderful programs, either music or lectures or many other things. And unfortunately, my husband passed away. And as Don told you, I'm in independent living still. And Don told you that, yes, we have hospice care. And my husband was in hospice care until he passed away 3 years ago. It was a wonderful move for us. The people here have been so supportive to me, which is important in my life. Yeah. I really love it here, but we do have all of those different levels. Many places do not.
Right. Anita, what do you like the most about C.C. Young?
Oh, I just I like about everything. I have so much fun. I came here, and the first day, I think I met everybody here, and I know everybody. And then Don, at that time, he lived here in our building at Ashbury, and they just made me feel at home. And of course, I'm so full of meanness that we just have a good time here, and everybody's so good to me. They share, we share. You know, if they buy too many things, they'll give you a piece of watermelon or something like that. And we get, if they bake a little something, they'll hang something on your door or something like that. So I like the, because we are a family here.
Yeah.
And then on Sundays, naturally, we go to Don's service on Sunday.
Right, right.
But that's why I like it here. I really like it because, and we play lots of games. And I like the fun part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
We have fun.
Before the show started, we were talking about some of the services that CC Young offers, like transportation, and I know that a lot of you use those. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about what they offer?
Yes. They offer you, take you to any of your doctors anywhere in the city of Dallas. They'll come pick you up. They don't stay with you, but they'll come back and pick you up. They'll when you get finished, you just give them a call and say, I'm ready, come, and they come back and pick you up. And the way you pay, you don't pay them. You pay on your card, your monthly fee. And so it makes it so easy for you.
Yeah, it's really convenient.
Yeah, you never have to have cash with you. And, yes, it is convenient, and they help you in and out. Luckily, I don't need the services like that, but I do ride sometimes where they have to help people in and out, and we got the best drivers, you know. We really like them, so, yeah.
All right.
I think it's important that we are a campus of 30 acres, and that there is 24/7 security. But to tag on to what Anita was saying, the buses are available to take groups to the grocery store, to once a month take anyone who signs up to go out to dinner at some special restaurant on their own.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sort of an organized neighborhood where we do, as has been said several times, we do get to know each other in different buildings and to share experiences. The lectures that we have, the music programs, there's a computer lab. There's helping people write their own story. The problem is not opportunities to stay busy. The problem is choosing which ones you're going to do to
right.
stay busy.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is.
Mr. and Mrs. Morgan, I understand that you were featured in the Dallas Morning News.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
When we moved in there, it was just wonderful. I wasn't approached beforehand at all. In fact, it was kind of on my birthday that we came out here.
Okay.
And that's the first thing I ever knew about it. So it was kind of a surprise, and you kind of had to wait a minute. But now that I've been here, it's very, very, very interesting and very comfortable with other people that are here to serve the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Speak.
Yeah. We're going to have a piece of advice from Miss Weber. So you mentioned that you had a good one, and I'm interested to hear what your piece of advice would be for us.
Well, I think the most advice is just come here, be yourself, and everybody will help you. They'll do everything that they can to help you. And that's the best advice I can give you. And they do care about you.
All right. And
I think there's a compassionate spirit here. a genuine caring that is not bound to the building that you're in.
Yeah.
And you feel it. There's a spirit of community that's very important. So you stay alive as long as you live.
that's a great piece of advice right there. Stay alive as long as you live. Emily Huddleston is the Assistant Director of Development and Public Relations, and I'm going to have her step in just to give us some contact information for CC Young and to kind of let our listeners know how to get in touch if they were interested in coming in for a tour.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you, and thank you for coming out here and giving us this opportunity. Again, we do have a lot of things going on around campus, and you do not have to be a resident to become involved at CC Young. We have many lectures, art classes, computer classes. We have a fitness center, everything open to the public. We'd love for you to come out and visit us. If you'd like more information, you can visit our website. It's www.ccyoung.org, and our main number here is 214-827-8080. We hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Emily. And with that, I will send it back to Brad and Sam in Atlanta.
Thank you, Kevin. We certainly appreciate all your guests. I wish I could name them, but obviously too many to do so. Great stories, great interview. Thank you very much. Joining me today in Atlanta, we have two individuals from Uni Health Post Acute Care in Decatur. We have Nicole Davis, and she is the admissions director for Uni Health, and Tony Davis, and Tony is senior care partner, which we will figure out what that means a little later. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. We're fine.
See, they're not sisters, but they speak in unison. They work for Uni Health. You know, their last names are Davis. Yeah, right. Okay, let's begin with Nicole. I met you probably a couple of months ago, and we were talking about Uni Health. I thought this would be a great show to speak to, or a great cause to speak to. So why don't you tell us, Nicole, a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how'd you get with Uni Health?
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Sam. My name is Nicole Davis, and I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. I moved to Atlanta probably 17, 18 years ago. Been in healthcare since that time. Mm-hmm. I've worked in various positions in long-term care, the business office, human resources, and now marketing. And about 2 years ago, the opportunity presented itself that I could join the team over at Decatur. At that time, it was owned by Laurel Bay, but mm-hmm. Pruitt came in and purchased the building through acquisition, and I became the admissions director there.
Tell us, what does the admissions director do?
Well, in my role, I go out and market the building. I speak with families about placement for long-term care, post-acute care, and I'm really responsible for the census, just making sure we have enough patients to operate.
Good, good. Tony, you are an LPN by education, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Your title is senior care partner. Tell us about yourself. Tell us, as a senior care partner, what do your duties encompass?
Well, when you say tell you about myself, the first thing come to mind that I'm a mother of five.
Well, I'll say you don't look like a mother of five, but okay. That's a positive. That's a
well,
positive
thank
thing.
You. I've been in long-term care for 17 years as a nurse, dealing with seniors in all capacity. I did wound care for 9-10 years. Mm-hmm. So I came with Uni Health Post-Acute Care in the past 5 months mm-hmm. as a senior care partner. And what that is a liaison between the patient and family and the nursing staff. Kind of like a social worker, but I deal with the nursing issues. If there's any concerns with nursing, the patient not understanding their medications, they're not understanding what the nurse explained to them and they need further education, then I'm that person, I'm that point of contact between the family and the nursing staff.
Okay, great. Either one of you, for our listeners, let's try to clarify the difference or the similarities between post-acute care and a rehab or nursing facility. Which one of you would like to try? Take that on. Neither one wants. Well, they're both looking at you.
Well, the post-acute care,
our target is patients that are coming from the hospital that have had surgery, hip replacements, or any type of a surgical procedure that will require rehab, being physical therapy, occupational therapy, or speech therapy to get stronger. Our goal is to transition the patient from the hospital back into the community mm-hmm. within 4 to 6 weeks. We also provide wound care at our facility for patients. Maybe they've had a surgical procedure and their wound won't heal, so we'll give them the wound care. The facility is moving toward short-term placement and not the long-term beds, but we offer long-term stay. We're not going to displace the residents that are already there. We're just targeting the patients that are going home in 4 to 6 weeks.
So, again, for clarity, does the situation call for a surgical patient to be admitted, or it's always gray,
no,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's always gray. It just depends on what's going on with the patient. I used hip replacement mm-hmm. or knee replacement, a surgical procedure for ortho patients, but, again, we offer IV therapy, antibiotics, someone that just can't, is not ready to go home from the hospital stay.
Tony, tell us a little bit of the services and the rehabilitation process that you're involved in.
Well, the services that we're providing, nutritional, we have the wound care, we have rehab, which is PT, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. Well, the goal is the patient comes from the hospital. Like Nicole said, they are not ready to go home. We have patients that's a little afraid. Some things that just happened to them, and the diagnoses that they have are new. They need some education, whether it's diabetes, high blood pressure, to learn how to take their blood pressure, how to check their blood sugars and give insulins or different things like that. So we provide the teaching. And like Nicole said, the goal is about 4 weeks to try to get them back home. So it's not that they're coming to stay. Their goal is coming in the door, that we're going to help you to get rehabilitated and get back home to the community.
Do you know how many patients being discharged? I don't know if you can come up with percentage.
I don't know, stats.
That are admitted into an acute or post-acute mm-hmm. care facility. Well, where I'm getting with that, obviously, I don't know what the percentage, but it's increasing mm-hmm. daily due to issues with Medicare.
Yes.
Medicare, the length of stays, inpatient facility, mm-hmm. inpatient hospital mm-hmm. Facilities are diminishing, and more and more and more care is being delivered outside of the hospitals, mm-hmm. typically in facilities such as yours.
This is true. And we will offer in the future outpatient therapy for the community. For those that don't quite need the skilled nursing, that could go home, but they still need therapy, well, in the community, they can come to our outpatient therapy. So we have not got that up and full running at this time, but that is coming in the future, where we have outpatient therapy, where that person, they can go home and come the next day and have their therapy and
return home.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, you mentioned that I think it was Nicole mentioned that you were part of Pruitt. And I think it's important to establish who Pruitt is and kind of build a little credibility there. Tell us that.
Oh, yeah. UHS Pruitt Corporation has been in existence for about 43 years. They're based out of Toccoa, Georgia. Pruitt has about 83 facilities, to include senior nursing facilities, skilled nursing facilities, assisted living facilities. They have United Pharmacy, United Home Health, and United Hospice. So it's a network of providers in place, and we're proud of that network.
Tony, tell us a little bit about I heard you talk about relate your role to that of a social worker, except handling the nursing issues. What is the most common thing that you get asked to do on a daily basis?
Common. Basically, I help a lot with the discharge admission process. I'm usually there when they're admitted, because when you come to a place, you want to know, what's the next step? How long am I going to be here? That's the number one question I get.
What is the goal? So usually what we do is we schedule a meeting that's within 3 to 4 days of their admission with the resident, the patient, and their family, just to find out the goals. What is their goal? The goal is to go home. How are we going to obtain that goal? So that meeting is usually with your dietary manager, your physical therapist, your social worker, myself, the activities coordinator. So you have all the disciplines and the unit manager. The disciplines are there so that we can be on one accord from the beginning when they get there. So they'll know. It's almost like marking off the calendar. Okay, day one, day mm-hmm. two, day three, and I know that I have a goal. And usually we get good results or success because they have a goal when they come in the door that I know I'm working towards. So they work harder in therapy to get an opportunity to go home.
How much does Medicare and financial assistance come into play when you're setting those goals? Because I know there are certain limits that Medicare will pay for. Is that always a part of the conversation?
Yes, it is. Some families coming in the door, some patients coming in the door, they know that Medicare pays 100% for the first 20 days, and then I think it's 80% on day 21, and they're responsible for the other 20% unless they have a secondary insurance. So it's really based on that patient. If they have that secondary insurance, then they're okay. They're willing to stay a little longer until they're well, or some may revert over or try to do a Medicaid application to help cover the 20%.
And how many rooms do you have in your facility?
We have
146 beds.
146. Mm-hmm. And how many of those today are short-term beds?
35 are our true TCU transitional care unit. Okay. We will open more after we transition over, mm-hmm. you know, but this is a new process. Our facility, I don't know if we mentioned this, was recently renovated. We spent about $1.7 million in renovations.
Wow.
And our focus was the rehab unit, the rehab gym. We have brand new equipment there. The transitional care unit will be up and operating by the end of the summer. So we'll dedicate more beds for that.
Now, let's clarify, transitional care unit is the short-term
stay. Stay is the patients that are coming in for 4 to 6 weeks to return home.
Tony, you spoke about outcomes and rehab. Can you tell us a specific story that might tug at our heartstrings?
Well, we won't mention the patient name, but there is a patient that he was just a joy. Mm-hmm. A joy to have. He was an amputee. He mm-hmm. had, I think, a below the knee mm-hmm. amputation. And I think when he first came, his spirits was a little low. Mm-hmm. But when he got there and he's just lit up the whole place and everybody was looking for him, you know, he couldn't eat. He was on a G-tube. But when I tell you when that man left last week, mm-hmm. I think a week ago.
Walking.
He had his prosthesis walking. In
yes.
place. He left walking and eating.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was a very touching story because he didn't let the fact that he lost a leg. He didn't let the fact that he had a feeding tube. He didn't let the fact that he was, you know, immobilized for a while, a period of time. He went on and he just got in there and he lit there. He went to therapy every day and he did what they told him to do, even though we had to sneak, you know, go in and check his drawers for the food when he wasn't supposed to eat.
Contraband.
Right. But in the end, it was a joy to see him walk out of the facility.
How much of rehabilitation, and again, I know you probably don't have exact, but tell us in your estimation, how much of it is pure physical ability versus the will to do it?
Wow. I think it's 80% the
Absolutely,
will.
Absolutely, the will.
Because if you have that will, you can do the therapy. You can do the exercise. But if you're in your mind, if you're just, you know, you're just giving up, it's hard to get you motivated. Mm-hmm. We do ask families to come, to bring pictures, to just come. Sometimes we tell them to come and join into their therapy sessions. Sometimes that's a motivator for them. Mm-hmm. So when the families go, it's like, okay, mom, or okay, dad, or whatever. It helps them. It motivates them that they haven't been sent to a place and left there.
So the therapy can be a family time together.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It is a family time together mm-hmm. because we want the families to participate so they can know how to continue the care once they go home. And that's a very important part of the piece. They have to, the puzzle, they have to come in and work with the rehab, the therapist, and just our staff, and knowing what to do and how to care for their loved one once they return home.
That's such an important point, because I think so many people think of skilled nursing facilities as depressing places, someplace
right.
they would never want to go. And obviously, from a transitional perspective, it's a very valuable and needed step in getting them back into the home and keeping them from returning to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you encourage that? Is there someone in your organization that is kind of responsible for kind of being the cheerleader? And
we have a dynamic activities department. They participate. We have activities 3 times a day. They go out to like the Braves games, and they're really our cheerleaders. They motivate our staff and the residents there on how, you know, just daily. They have to be super pumped. Different activities include bingo some days. They play the Wii game. They've changed the activities. It's not just the traditional bingo, but we have the Wii activities. We have a younger population, chess games, just happy hour.
Did you see a change when, you know, and I guess I'm not sure how long you were there while it was still Laurel Bay, but did you see a change when UHS Pruitt
yes,
came in?
Yes, indeed, a very big change for the better. Pruitt has invested in this facility, given us different equipment, brand new equipment, the renovations. It's a brand new place. It's a different environment, a different feeling. The morale of the staff has gone up. Even their long-term residents that have been there for a while have noticed it's a new place, new mm-hmm. business, a new hat we're wearing.
Besides the financial investment, and I think you spoke a little bit about this, the morale of the employees, what makes Pruitt special?
The systems. Pruitt has systems. It's like an encyclopedia or a college. There's a system in place for just about everything, from turning on the light until, you know, from the time we check the patient in to the time we follow up with them after they've discharged. They have dynamic systems in place and a lot of resources. They have consultants that come in our buildings and help us with us, you know, along the way to help us make sure we're meeting the needs of the residents.
For our listeners, let's go to Nicole. If we have listeners who are either inpatient or know they're going to be coming out and they think they're going to be in a situation of transitional care, what piece of advice might you give them as they start looking at this coming down the road, Adam?
Okay. The first thing I would do is to make sure you evaluate the whole situation. Find out what the facility has to offer. The location is very important. The amenities are very important. And just their overall rating mm-hmm. would be an important piece. The location is also really a good factor. I'll go back to that because families have to come. You can't put your loved one in a place that's 40 miles outside and you're not able to go and visit with them. Because if you're involved with them daily or even, you know, a few times a week, if they're getting that stimulation from the family, then they'll recover faster and they'll transition back into the community.
Let's develop that just a little bit. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let me make this statement. But a patient coming from a facility being discharged, they have a say. They should have a say.
They have a say, yeah. Absolutely. And that's a part good piece. Thank you for bringing that up, Sam, because the patient needs to know, and they need to have a say in it. We take the brochures out, but let them know this is available. These are the activities that are available. Do you think we'll meet your need? And let them help you make that decision.
Great. We certainly appreciate that. For our listeners who might want to come and visit the facility and see what it's about, and Nicole, can you tell us, give us your contact information?
Oh, yes. We're located at 3200 Panthersville Road in Decatur, Georgia. Mm-hmm. We're directly across the street from Georgia Regional Hospital. Our website is uhspruittcorp.com, and my email address is ndavis@uhspruitt.com. The facility's phone number is 404-212-3400, and our fax line for referrals is 404-212-3410.
And if someone just wanted to stop by and do a quick tour, is
they
that possible?
Can. We welcome tours every day. There's no set time for it. We just, you know, come on in and we'll show you what we have to offer.
Well, that's great. We certainly appreciate it. Just for the sake of discussion or note, I've tried very hard to get people from Pruitt on the show. I thank you for being here, and hopefully we can do this again in the future.
We look forward to it. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's it for today. We want to give thanks to our guest in Texas. We want to give thanks to Nicole and Tony for being here in Atlanta. And we want to thank our guests for tuning in today and remind them that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of our nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you. God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.